Skagway leaders moved to separate long-term and short-term waterfront proposals, and an emergency beacon triggers a five-hour Coast Guard search near Haines. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly will try to separate short-term waterfront improvements from a long-term lease proposal. That was the indication after a special meeting Wednesday night. After an about hour and 45-minute meeting, Assemblyman Jay Burnham said this.
So basically what we've just done is say we want to talk to White Pass about building floating dock and cleaning up the ore terminal, and we'll talk about a lease later.
This new direction comes after several assembly discussions around a new lease proposal from White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad and entreaties from residents like Nikki Bunting.
I think it's time to stop putting ourselves in a position where if we want to keep our land safe and clean, we have to stop considering ourselves trespassers on our own land. I think it's time to take our waterfront back.
White Pass has leased the lion's share of Skagway's port since the 1960s. Since then, the town has become a major cruise destination. Skagway is now at risk of being unable to accommodate larger cruise ships. The town needs to build a new floating dock for the vessels. White Pass is willing to cooperate on the floating dock, but its lease is up in 5 years. Before investing money in new infrastructure, the company wants assurance its lease on key sections of tidelands continues for at least another 15 years.
So hear me out. This is what I think we ought to do.
Assemblywoman Monica Carlson came to Wednesday's meeting with what she called a Hail Mary proposal. She said she doubted Skagway voters would agree to a new 15-year lease.
But I think they would consider something where it's guaranteed that the harbor's going to be cleaned up, we're going to get a dock, we're going to have revenue, but it might not be right away. And we will get our uplands back. But I think it's a way forward. And then we can negotiate after 2023 for everything else. We have 5 years to set what we want to do.
Carlson said instead of agreeing to a long-term lease under the pressure of the cruise ship deadline, the city should enter into an agreement just focused on the floating dock. She proposed allowing White Pass to collect all the dock revenue through 2023 and then sharing the income for 5 years after that. Carlson's proposal had a number of other stipulations, including a corporate surety bond to hold White Pass accountable for ore basin contamination cleanup. Assemblyman Spencer Morgan agreed with the spirit of Carlson's proposal.
Well, quite frankly, this idea is kind of what I was hoping White Pass would have thrown our way versus just going for a lease again.
But Morgan said he didn't think the railroad would agree to it. Orion Hansen said the same.
They want a lease. They want to be able to project out 20 years so that they can, you know, when they put infrastructure in, they know they'll get a return on their investment. If they had any inclination that they would just do one part of it, I think that would have been separated out so far, and it's not.
Carlson ended up withdrawing her proposal. Even though other members liked some of her ideas, they wanted to have more time to review it in written form before endorsing it. But then Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr. suggested a simpler step forward. Right now, White Pass's proposal is in three parts: a current lease amendment that includes a floating dock, a new long-term lease picking up after 2023, and an environmental cleanup agreement. Burnham suggested they combine Part 1, the current lease amendment, with Part 3, the ore basin cleanup. He said it's already the city's stance that White Pass needs to remediate the pollution by the time the current lease is up. The Assembly unanimously agreed those two pieces should be connected. Whether the short-term floating dock and cleanup agreement would be followed by a 15-year second lease is still a question for the Assembly and for negotiations with White Pass. If there is a new lease, the Assembly has decided it will go to a public vote. A Coast Guard helicopter conducted a more than five-hour search in the Haines area Wednesday evening. The search was suspended after the air crew found no boat or person in distress. A spokesman says the search was triggered by alerts from an emergency beacon around 5 p.m. Wednesday. The distress signals were apparently coming from the Chilkat River near Haines. A helicopter launched from Sitka and searched for 5.5 hours with no discoveries. The Coast Guard also could not find reliable registration data for the beacon. Petty Officer Bill Colclaw says that contributed to the decision to end the search. He says most beacons have an associated vessel ID number, phone number, or address, but this one had no data available. Colclaw says the Coast Guard thought the distress signal might be coming from the Haines Airport, which is located along the Chilkat River, but they were not able to confirm that. While orcas and humpbacks are frequently seen in southeast Alaska, some other kinds of whale are spotted once in a blue moon. This spring, the carcass of an unusual whale materialized near Petersburg. KFSK reporter Nora Sachs found out how it was discovered and why it caught the attention of marine mammal experts.
Kate Savage's freezer looks a little different than most Alaskans this time of year. Instead of frozen fish and berries, hers contains a body bag, and zipped inside that is a very large skull, about 3 to 4 feet long and 2 feet across. It's the size and shape of a turkey drumstick that Andre the Giant might have wielded. She thinks it belongs to the elusive Cuvier's beaked whale.
Let's put it this way. I think the Cuvier's is one of the most common beaked whales around the world. How common it is in Alaska, gosh, I just couldn't say because they are so uncommonly observed.
Especially in southeast Alaska. Savage is a veterinarian and biologist with NOAA, based in Juneau. She's seen a lot of marine mammals, but this is her first Cuvier's. According to NOAA's records, only one other has been seen in the Inside Passage waters in the last 30 years. Cuvier's is one of three beaked whale species found in Alaska.
And all of them are really cryptic species. They tend to be like open water, deep divers, not really spectacular blows, and they tend to like avoid vessel traffic. So they're pretty shy and not easily seen, you know, in the water alive. So most of our data on, I think, all of these species is primarily from like stranding data.
Savage and her colleagues don't know why this one died or was found so far outside of its normal habitat. She speculates it swam rather than floated into the area. Either way, it's taken a village and a season to get it, or bits and pieces of it, up to Juneau for further examination. Savage first caught wind of it on April 26th, when a Forest Service crew spotted a large whale carcass floating near the south shore of Mitkoff Island in Sumner Strait. They sent over some photos, but weren't able to get a skin sample.
But it had the head and mouth like a porpoise. And it was like, huh, that kind of sounds like a beaked whale, which would be very unusual. And so we always track down any kind of stranded or floating or beach marine mammal, but this one was exceptional in terms of our interest.
Other experts from the Marine Mammal Lab and the Smithsonian weighed in. They agreed with Savage that its smiling face, smallish melon, and the shape of its head all suggest it's a Cuvier's. Then, in mid-May, a fisherman reported the carcass had washed up on shore near Point Alexander. But when NOAA officers got there the next day, it was already gone, likely snatched by the tide. Finally, it reappeared a whole month later, on June 17th. By this time, it was mostly a skeleton.
And so then it was like, oh my gosh, well, let's grab the skull and let's grab what we can. And, you know, normally we'll take like a little piece of skin to identify the species for genetics. At this point in time, there's no skin, but the enforcement folks were able to grab a little bit of tissue between the vertebrae, and I'm hopeful that that'll be enough to get a good ID.
The tissue sample will soon be on its way to the NOAA Southwest Fisheries Science Center in Southern California for lab work. Meanwhile, Savage is emptying out her freezer, packing up the skull, and sending it off to the University of Alaska's Museum of the North so others can enjoy it too. Reporting in Petersburg, I'm Nora Sachs.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. We also post news and announcements on our KHNS Facebook page, so make sure you follow us there. We're always open to your comments and story ideas. You can reach us at news@khns.org or reporter@khns.org.